I'd like you to open first to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew 17. We're going to look at about four short verses, passages here at the very beginning. Matthew chapter 17, just take a look here in verse 20, without rehashing this whole story. Jesus said unto them, the ones that had tried to cast the devil out of this guy and they couldn't, because of your, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus says, because of your unbelief, for verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Now, if you have a marker, leave it right here, a finger, pencil, piece of paper, whatever. Just you put something here because we'll be coming back to this particular verse. Now, look over in Mark. Mark chapter 11. In Mark chapter 11, take a look at verse 23. Jesus is speaking. He says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Now look over in Mark chapter 16. Leaving a marker here. Mark chapter 16. And in verse 17. Jesus says, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. You can leave a marker there. We have one more. John chapter 14. John 14. One verse. Verse 12. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, we've looked at four passages that, quite frankly, are very profound statements. In the natural, the four passages that we looked at are describing impossible situations, are they not? I mean, honestly, they are. In the natural, they're describing things that can't happen. And yet, there they are in the Bible. So now, here's the question. Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe it's God's Word? Do you believe the Bible when it says that it's impossible for God to lie? Do you believe the Bible where it says that God cannot lie? Well, if your answer to all of those questions is yes, I believe all those things, then that means everything we read is true. Regardless of how impossible it seems, it's all true. So let's go back, starting with Matthew, and look at these verses again. Matthew 17. And in verse 20, you can look at verse 20, but I want you to repeat after me. If I have faith as a grain of mustard seed, I shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to me. Now look over in Mark. Mark 11. Verse 23. Repeat after me. When I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, every mountain of every problem, no matter what it is in my life, when I say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and when I don't doubt in my heart, but believe that those things which I say shall come to pass, I shall have whatever I say. Now Mark chapter 16. Verse 17. These signs follow me, as I believe in Jesus. In Jesus' name, I cast out devils. I speak with new tongues. I take up serpents. If I drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. I lay hands on the sick, and they recover. Now over in John, chapter 14. Verse 12. I believe in Jesus. The works that He did, I do also. Say that again. I believe in Jesus. The works that He did, I do also. Now when you kind of put that into a personal context, all of these verses, it's a little bit different, isn't it? It's not so abstract. Now we're talking about me. If I speak to this mountain and say, go, it obeys me and it leaves. How many of you have been talking to mountains lately? How many mountains are still in your life? If I lay hands on the sick, they recover. When's the last time you declared that over you? Out of all these things that we've looked at, all of these things that we've just said about ourselves, how many of you felt very, very comfortable and at ease in saying all these things about you? You know why there can be a little tilt on the inside when you say that? It's because even though it's in God's Word, it's still foreign to us. You know why it's foreign to us? Because there's something in us that, well, maybe it just doesn't believe the way we think it does. Do you think Jesus would have had a problem saying, I do the works of the Father? No. He said it. It's in there. It's in Scripture. He said, I do the works of the one who sent me. I work His works. This is what I'm doing. Get any sick? They can be healed. Dead? They can be raised. Blind eyes? Sight can be restored. We'll get rid of those devils. It's not a problem. Jesus could have made those kind of statements about Himself with absolutely no inner conflict whatsoever. It's because He knew who He was and He knew what He could do. He knew why He was here. Right along with that, every single one of us, are we not here for the same purpose? That means right where you are right now, where you sit, even if you're not in this building right now, you're listening to this by recording, every one of these verses that we looked at are real. They're not a pipe dream. They're absolutely real. We can speak to things and make them go. Now, we're not, please, you know, you've been around long enough, we are not talking about the out in left field, speak to things and make it happen. It's in line with God's Word. We can speak to things, and it will happen. Things will happen. We can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We can cast out devils. We can do the works of Jesus. All these things. You see, we either can or God's a liar. And if God's a liar, then, you know, we're in quite a predicament now, aren't we? Because if God's a liar, we're not really sure if we're going to heaven or not. Because at that point, we're not sure which verses are true and which aren't. So it's either all true or it's not. And it's all true. God is not a liar, and every one of these verses are very, very real for every single one of us. How many sick people have crossed the path of our life? They entered into our life sick and they left our life sick. Listen, I'm me too in this. How many people have come up here for prayer that I've prayed for and the healing hasn't manifested right there, right then? It wasn't like that with Jesus. I just stood here and made a confession. I can do the works of Jesus. So doesn't that kind of make me a liar? Well, I'd say that just a few moments ago we were speaking of things that aren't as though they were. Because these things are God's will, whether we want to accept them or not. You see, all of these things are true, but they are not a sovereign move of God. And this is the part that really confuses some people. Well, if I'm supposed to lay hands on the sick and recover, then, you know, it ought to be happening. Why isn't it happening? If I'm supposed to be able to speak to these problems and tell them to go, I'm speaking. Nothing's moving. I don't understand what's going on here. Well, the problem can't be with God, because he talks about our belief system in this. Those that believe, to him that believes, if you believe, you can speak, you can say, you can do, nothing will be impossible. Perform these works. You can do it. It's based on what you believe. Here's the thing. Guys like Peter, John, James, so on and so forth, they didn't seem to have a problem with this, now did they? Silver and gold have I none, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up. And he sure enough did. And Paul, it's to me, you remember the story how that they were, you know, in the city and that girl that had that devil of divination, you know, mocking them and so forth. And finally, he had all he could take. He just turns around and says, in Jesus' name, come out. And man, the thing came out. It was no big deal. It was just, you do it. This is how you live. So what's happened? Well, I can tell you what's happened, and I can tell you why. When we made those confessions about ourselves, Paul and Peter could have stood here tonight and made those confessions that we just made. And they would have said, okay, yeah. Yeah, that's the way it is. And here we are. We're like, I felt kind of funny saying that. Because, you know, it just doesn't seem right. Why doesn't it seem right? Why doesn't it seem normal to make those kind of confessions about yourself? Well, it sounds like I'm being prideful. You're not being prideful. If you speak of who you are the way God has spoken of who you are, then how is it prideful? I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I cast out devils. I do the works of Jesus. There's no ego in that. What would you rather me say? I'm a complete, total failure? I can't do nothing? I mean, yeah, Brother Martin, we'd rather hear that because that's the way we all are. We never get anything done. But God's Word says differently. And I have to examine myself in this. You know, it's like, well, okay, I'm not at the point of having 100% success like Jesus. The examples I see of Peter and Paul, those kind of things aren't happening in my life the way they happen in their lives in ministry. I tell you what, a whole lot more is happening now than what used to. What's happened is that religion has led us down a path of emptiness. They've told us about Jesus. They've told us we needed to be born again. They led us to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But beyond that, we were kind of left up to our own, weren't we? We got born again, and then we were taught to start serving in Sunday school and helping in the nursery and cleaning the church on work day and all these other things. But when it came to doing what we just read, when it came to understanding these things, we didn't know. And so after years and years and years of not knowing and not understanding, you come into a church service and some guy stands up and says, repeat after me. I can speak to mountains and they move. And you think, ooh, that feels kind of funny because I'm not used to talking that way. Now, from God's perspective, that should be kingdom language. That should be kingdom conversation. Those should be kingdom statements because that's the way it's supposed to be in the kingdom of God. And the moment we get born again, we're translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So therefore, these kind of things should be common, but they aren't. And it's religion's fault because here's the thing. We go through and we read these passages and we acknowledge that they're in there and we acknowledge they're true, but we don't acknowledge they're true for us. And so we live every day of our lives wondering when. Or what if? Or what's going on? And before we, now I can't, this isn't true for everyone, but before we became a part of a church like this, we were very comfortable and confident in our walk with God, firmly believing that these things weren't supposed to happen. So it was okay with us when they didn't happen, because we believed they weren't supposed to. Then all of a sudden we end up in a church like this and we're being told, but now wait a minute. This is God's Word and these things are for us. The works of Jesus, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils, all these things. It's like, Gee whiz. Okay, so now what? Well, we've got a lot of religion in us. And there's an internal struggle within each believer. Well, not every believer, but with most believers, really. About these things we've just read here in Scripture. About whether or not they're true, whether or not they can happen, whether or not we can be a part of this and this can be a part of us. And we're hoping for, you know, like this sovereign move of God that it'll just happen. But then we realize, after enough teaching, that it's not a sovereign move of God, and it's not going to just happen. There are things we have to do. Well, what are the things that we have to do? Well, we've talked about these things, you know, often. Praying in tongues, worship, particularly the private worship. Meditation and confessing of God's Word, and fasting. We're hoping to get results. So where are they? Well, I want to show you something. Look over in Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, look in verse 8. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. Okay, now, who's doing the sowing? We are. And he says right here, if you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Think of it this way. If you sow to the Spirit, you shall of the Spirit reap the life of the verses you just confessed over yourself. Because every one of the, God's Word is life, so those words contain life. We will reap the life of those verses. And he says, look, if you sow your flesh, you'll reap corruption. Okay, now, for the sake of this teaching, let's say corruption is not sin, okay? Let's say corruption are the people that we lay hands on and pray for, and the healing doesn't happen. The corruption of sickness remains in their body. See what I'm saying? If you sow to your flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. So now what does that tell me? It tells me if I sow to the Spirit, I will reap the life of the verses I just confessed over me. It's inevitable. And see, this is the part that's really kind of confusing, because in our minds, we read those verses, and they sound so science fiction movie. They sound so out there. Anything? I can get anything? I can speak to it? It's going to change? I can do the works of Jesus? But I don't feel like I can do the works of Jesus. Yeah, the Bible says I can do the works of Jesus, but I don't feel like I can do the works of Jesus. I work too hard. Who can do the works of Jesus with my kind of schedule? I got kids. I got a house. All these things. Who can possibly do this? Well, here's the thing. As I've read through the Bible, I don't see any kind of disqualifiers other than unbelief. That's the only thing I see in here that's keeping anyone from doing these things. And he says, if you sow to the Spirit, you, not God. God's already given us the seed, His Word. If you take what I've given you and you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap the life of my Word. You're going to reap the life of the Spirit. You're going to reap the life of everything that I've promised into your life. You will reap this. Now, let me ask you a question. For whose benefit is it that we reap these things? Ultimately, God's. But in between now and God, it's all the people we come in contact with. I mean, think of it like this. If I lay hands on somebody and get them sick, who benefited the most, God or them? Well, as far as their body is concerned, God, they benefited the most. You understand what I mean? Now they're healed. They weren't, but now they are. So their body's benefited more than God's body. You understand what I mean from that angle? We have to accept that God has said in His Word that we can do all of these things, and that it's our responsibility to do the sowing, but then we'll also reap. Okay, think of it like this. Here's what we reap. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, hear, see, walk, be able to eat food, cancer be gone. That's reaping life. And I can do this, but it's totally up to me whether or not it happens. It's not something that God will sovereignly do. The way I was raised, that does not make sense. Because you're not God and I'm not God. You have to wait for God to do these things. And yet God says, but if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life. If you speak to the mountain, it will move. If you confess, it will happen. If you lay hands, they'll recover. God keeps putting it back on us. He says, look, I've given you everything that you need to be able to accomplish these things. Now, if it's not happening, it's not my fault. It's yours in some way, shape, or form. Now, somebody could come along and say, all right, I understand what you're saying. But at the same time, I'm kind of struggling with this because not as much is happening as what I think should happen. I mean, what's going on here? Well, look over in Romans chapter 12. I want to show you a verse. In Romans 12, in verse 1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, I want you to think about what happened with Abraham. Now, he had a lot of promises and so on and so forth from God. But what was the one moment that, like, was a catalyst for everything? Yeah, I know when he left his home, but when he laid Isaac on that altar. Remember that? And, I mean, when you go back and read that whole story, so what did he do? He takes Isaac. He's got so much faith in God. He says, look, the boy and I shall return. He knew what he was supposed to do, kill him. So he takes Isaac. They get up to the top of the mountain. And, you know, he's tying Isaac up. And Isaac says, where's the sacrifice? It's like, get a clue, son. I'm tying you up. What do you think? Then he lays him on this altar. And he takes the knife. And he's getting ready to kill him. What had he just done? He had offered up Isaac as a living sacrifice, had he not? And God said, whoa, stop. Now I know I can really trust you. Well, God already knew ahead of time, and we're not going to teach all of that. But what I'm getting at here, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, you have to Isaac yourself. You have to present your body a living sacrifice. Your body is alive. Your body doesn't want to do the praying, doesn't want to do the fasting, doesn't want to do the worship, doesn't want to do the reading, the meditation, and the word. Your body doesn't want to. Your emotions don't want to. Your soul, everything about, the only part about you that really would be in agreement with such a thing is your spirit. That's why he says don't lay your spirit on the altar, making it a living sacrifice. He says, your body, present your body as a living sacrifice unto God. It's your reasonable service. What does that mean? It means a lot of stuff we don't like. What it means is the cost to fulfill John chapter 14, verse 12, doing the works of Jesus, is greater than most Christians understand. Even myself. You know, I have to put myself in that same category. Because, this, trust me, this is not meant to be a downer of a message. This is to be an encourager of a message. You'll see that when we're done. No matter how much praying in tongues I've done to this point, if I'm still not doing the works of Jesus, guess what? I haven't prayed enough. If no matter how much I've confessed the word to this point, no matter how much I've worshiped, no matter how much I've fasted, whatever it would be, if I'm not yet doing the works of Jesus, if I'm not yet seeing Mark 16, if I'm not yet speaking to the mountains of problems, I mean, if these things aren't happening, then guess what? I haven't done the other stuff enough. Because it's very simple. I sow to the Spirit, I reap the life. It's there. The formula is there. So no matter how much I have done, if I'm not seeing the results yet, then that means there's still something going on inside of me that's being changed. It's a process that's being corrected. But the results are guaranteed. So think of it this way. You go to a faucet to turn on the water. And if you only turn it on just a little bit, you get a little trickle. Well, that's not acceptable. I need more water. I need more pressure. I need lots of suds to do these dishes. So what do I have to do? I have to reach over to the faucet and turn it all the way, don't I? To get it to come out with full force. In other words, there's more that needs to be done to get the results that are guaranteed. And every one of us knows if we open that faucet full blast, the water's going to, you know, as long as you've got water pressure, the water is going to, you know, really come out hard. Likewise, if I'm not getting the works of Jesus done in my life, if I'm not seeing those kind of results, then it simply means that I haven't done enough of what he says I need to do. And this is one of the things that I find in so many Christians' lives that it's like a source of frustration. It's like, okay, I have gone beyond not believing I could speak to mountains. I have gone beyond not believing I can lay hands on the sick and see them recover. I've gone beyond not believing I can cast out devils. I have gone beyond not believing that I can do the works of Jesus. I believe that these things can happen. But, Brother Martin, I have prayed, and I have prayed, and I have prayed. I mean, you know, there can't be many words left in tongues that I haven't said. When do I start getting results? When you pray a little more. Yeah, but how much? I don't know. I can't answer that. Look over in Ephesians chapter 5. How many of you remember, or maybe you're encountering this now, it depends on your age, you ever gone on a vacation with your kids? When you've driven, and it's a long trip. Exactly. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? No, a little bit more, but are we there yet? Are we? A little bit longer. Are we there? Just play with your toys. He touched me. She looked at me. Are we there yet? You know what I'm saying? Now, you know it's going to be a 12-hour drive before they, or 16-hour drive, before you get a chance to see Mickey and his friends. You know it's going to take you a while. You already know this, but you know the results are guaranteed. You know more than they know. They don't know. And you tell them, look, just sit, be quiet, okay? Just trust me. You know, your coloring book. But I don't have any pages left. Okay, well, your toys. I don't want them anymore. Okay, then how about a spanking? Oh, I don't want a spanking. You already know what's coming. And you know it's going to take 16 hours of driving or 8 hours of driving overnight in a motel and 8 more hours of driving. You already know this. You know it. You are in the divine seat of Godship in that car. You know the beginning from the end. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? But they don't. And they're frustrated. They figure 30 minutes in that back seat with their sister is all they need. We should be there by now. We're not even on the highway yet. Why not? Why does it take so long? We've all been there. In fact, we've probably all done that. And you know what's coming, and you know that when you get there, it's the rides and all this other, they just don't know. It's the same way with us and doing all of these things that we just read about here in Scripture. God, are we there yet? He said, a little bit longer. But God, are we? Pray some more. But God, are we? Confess the word some more. But God, are we? Just worship some more. But God, are we? Fast some more. But God, when are we going to be there? When are we going to? I want to. Can you relate to this? He already knows how much praying in tongues, how much fasting, how much worship, and how much of the word you need before you start doing the works of Jesus, speaking to the mountain, laying hands on the sick, getting the results. He knows. We don't. We're in the back seat. And we don't have a clue. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil." Redeeming the time. God's Word says we can do this. All of these things. Here's the problem. It takes longer than we'd like. It's harder than we anticipate. The results don't come as quickly as we'd hoped. But the results are guaranteed. God, there can't be that much in me. I can't have that, those, I mean, it seems to me like, God, based on my own personal evaluation, I should be walking in miracle power by now. Why are you holding back? God says, you got another 500 miles of praying in tongues, another 800 miles of private worship, another 700 miles of confessing the Word, and another 2,000 miles of fasting. Kind of puts it in terms we can understand. But here's the thing. It'll happen. That's why he talked about don't be weary. Because if you continue, if you endure, you're going to reap. It's going to happen. It's guaranteed. You will become everything that God's Word, all of us, everything that God's Word has said, we will become that. No question about it whatsoever. Does it get frustrating? Who can bear witness? Yes, it gets frustrating. Sure it does. Because we want it to happen, and we want it to happen now. Then we get over that part of the impatience, and we think we're doing pretty good, and then we kind of on the inside, we don't say it to anybody, on the inside it's like, well, where is this power? What's going on here? So it's like we get impatient without being impatient. I mean, like how we explain it. And God's in heaven saying, look, this is going to happen for you. There is no shortcut. You have to deal with you and get the stuff cleaned out, straightened out, et cetera, and so forth. But see, if you don't even believe this stuff can happen, you're not even going to try. If you want to be like Jesus, here's the thing, conforming to the image of Christ means doing the works of Christ. So the more that we do these things, we're guaranteed the results. And what I want to do tonight, like I said earlier, this is to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't give up and don't think it's not going to happen. Because it will happen. Yeah, I know right now in your life you might be really frustrated about some things that are going on. I don't know. You might sometimes feel like quitting. You might feel like, regardless of what the Word says and the fact that I believe the Word, I don't believe this is really going to happen for me. We go through all these kinds of thoughts and feelings. But the thing is, God's Word, it can't be wrong. Religion has changed, doctrines have changed, but God's Word has never changed. And these things are true. And I want you to be encouraged tonight, strengthened tonight with this knowledge. Hang in there. Don't quit. Don't stop. It is harder than what we had anticipated. It does require more effort. You know, and the thing is, we can't accelerate it. You know, we just may have to shut down the television, not watch all the games we had hoped, cut out a lot of activities. I don't know. But the thing is, we will reach the destination. It will happen. It's guaranteed. So every one of you tonight, I want you to say this with me. All of these things that I saw in God's Word tonight are for me. They are personal. They are mine. And they are God's promises of what I can do. And if I do not quit, if I do not become weary in well-doing, if I keep sowing to the Spirit, I will reap the life of all of these promises. Praise God. The Lord's reminding me of a word that came forth recently But he wants it. Well, here's something similar. The struggles in your home have more to do with demonic powers than what you realize. And you need to go home and take authority over these things. And you need to continue fighting this battle in the realm of the Spirit. Because through no total fault of your own, demonic forces have gained access. And you need to go home. And you need to exert authority. And if you need to do it alone when no one else is there, then you need to do that. You need to go into the rooms that are occupied by your family members and declare the name of my son Jesus. You need to speak to the demonic powers that have invaded your place. You need to take authority and don't stop. Remember, I won the victory through my son Jesus and passed it on to you through my son Jesus. You have God victory residing on the inside of you right now, and you have God authority residing on the inside of you right now. Authority to overpower and drive out demonic entities. There are too many of my Christians who put up with problems that are demonic in nature and never deal with it. And so I share with you this evening that problems many of you are encountering in your home are a direct result of demonic attack. So I say to you, go home. Go into the rooms. Speak to these powers, to these authorities, to these demons. Speak to them. Address them in the name of my son Jesus. Command them to leave as did my son Jesus. Some of these demonic powers are stronger than others. For the hierarchy of Satan's kingdom is revealed in my word. But I say to you, exercise the authority that I have given to you. Speak to these things and drive them out. Do this and keep fighting this way, and do not let Satan get the upper hand. There are those of you who have witnessed children that seemed to be on the right path, and then all of a sudden it was like they changed overnight. This isn't because of their hormones. This isn't simply because of the people they are hanging around. Whenever you see a sudden change that happens, a change that takes place very, very quickly in an individual, there is a demonic power at work. So I say to you, take authority over it. Don't be afraid. Remember, I said I'd never leave you nor forsake you. So I will be there with you, and I will help you. Take authority. Drive these things out of your home. Even if no one else in your home believes this way, I won't alter my word to satisfy their unbelief. What I have said stands. So therefore, you can do this. Win this victory. Exercise the authority. Fight this fight. It may take you some time of addressing these things, because in some cases, they have set up a powerful stronghold in your home. Keep bombarding with my word. Keep bombarding with the name of my son. Keep bombarding with worship, creating a holy atmosphere that causes them to be highly uncomfortable. If you'll do this and not stop, you will reclaim the territory that Satan has tried to steal. And you will see victory manifest in your home, says the Lord.